Alex is in Lisburn. Morning, Alex.
Morning. Well, I was just listening to the discussion, and there's a number of things. The comment about the trade union leader, and it sort of summed up his attitude that austerity hasn't worked. I mean, of all the European economies, the weakest at the moment is the French economy. And they more or less, Hollande more or less pursued the sort of agenda that he would advocate, that the unions here were advocating for a few years ago. But what I would like to ask is this: they talk about strike action to overturn a political agreement. What percentage of members do they need to endorse that? We've seen in the past where maybe only 25% of a union has bothered to vote, and barely a majority of those have voted for something, and yet the unions went down that path. I'd like to have heard, I think it was the Bunter, tell us what
Peter Bunting.
He needs the support of before he'll engage, before he'd actually attempt to overturn.
So do you agree with what was talked about at the weekend then when David Cameron was proposing changes in terms of percentage turnout? What was it, I think he was suggesting, well, 40% of the union would have to vote.
That's
but
right.
But you would support that?
I would, sure. Well, you were suggesting next May we're going to have the opportunity to vote on the politicians that made this agreement. How many of us have the opportunity to vote on the trade unions? In fact, what proportion of us are even members of trade unions? And historically, they're lucky to get 50% of the vote.
So would you support, you would support this deal, or would you support the strike?
I would support the deal. I think, I mean, I even listened to John O'Dowd talking about Tory cuts and Tory out to wreck the welfare. I don't think, I don't believe they're out to destroy the welfare state. Why would, at the end of the day, we need a welfare state, but they're out to cut it back a bit. Geoffrey Donaldson made the point, we have far more public servants here than anywhere else in the UK. Are we going on strike? Are we going to see a strike to maintain that status quo? The union talked about tax opportunities. Are we going to be taxed more simply so we can have more public service than anywhere else in the UK? It doesn't make sense. The problem actually in Northern Ireland was when austerity measures were brought in England and Wales and Scotland, we didn't have them. And that's what the problem's been. And in fact, if you look at it, we're the worst performing part of the United Kingdom. We're the one who didn't have the austerity.
Yeah, but the unions will say, why should the 20,000 or so members, or their members, who are perhaps going to suffer the job losses here, why should they be the ones that pay the price for the devolution of corporation tax?
Well, all I've met in the last few months is civil servants in their 50s hoping to get away on voluntary redundancy. So there's been, even when you asked the union what put them, they're only voluntary redundancy, they're going to be voluntary redundancy, so you hadn't had about that. If they're going to be voluntary, there's hundreds of people listening, trade unions or civil service listening to the news this morning, they're thinking, hope the goodness they don't get their way, because they're looking away. They want out.
Alex, stay there, because Brian Peelan's called the programme this morning. He's the editor of View, the voluntary sector magazine. You supporting these strikes, Brian? This strike on the 13th of March, Brian?
Yes. I think the situation warrants a reaction, and it's been excellent that the Nolan Show has had this debate taking place this morning, and I think we have to have more of this debate. My feedback on the ground is that a number of voluntary community organisations at the moment are suffering. A number of organisations have already been put on protective notice. That means workers in 3 months' time in these frontline services don't know if they're going to have jobs, funding. And it's already been signalled by the budget and the Stormbridge Agreement that has been decided upon that the voluntary community sector will suffer funding redundancies. So there is going to be a knock-on impact.
Yeah, but...
The thing I'd just like to point out is that Minister O'Dowd there said that we don't know where the economy is going to be in 3 years' time. Well, we do know, because the Conservative government have said that we have austerity now and there's another whole series of austerity measures to come. That's been outlined. That economic climate has been outlined.
Well, there's going to be a general election before then.
Yeah, but the Labour government have also said that they support austerity measures as well. So whatever party is elected, we are facing into a climate of austerity. That's what we're living under now, and it's impacting right across the sector.
But surely surely that supports what John O'Dowd is then saying, because in those circumstances, Stormont's going to have to do as best as it can. John O'Dowd has said this morning, it's not ideal, but it's the best possible deal that was available, and without it, the institutions could have collapsed. I mean, would you have been happy to see that happen? Was it worth that?
It's not a case of being happy or not happy. It's if you implement the cuts, if you're implementing the cuts, and that's what Stormont is doing with this package, and all the parties are doing it, if you implement the cuts, they're going to have a detrimental effect And the welfare cuts is part of that package. Now, there's nobody saying to me that in Britain, where they've had the welfare cuts, we have had story of misery after misery, of people committing suicide, of people struggling, an absolute surge in food banks. Now, there's nothing in that agreement that says to me, as a journalist, as a trade unionist, as someone who's interested in a better life, there's nothing that agreement says to me that's going to be any better. And simply saying it's the best that we can do, well, that's not good enough. But
would it have been worth collapsing the institution, seeing the institutions collapse, and a return to direct rule? Is it that bad?
It is that bad. In that we are facing, whether it's the Stormont Assembly doing it.
So you would have preferred to see a return to direct rule over the Stormont House Agreement.
It's nothing to say what I would prefer. What I'm saying is that these.
It's all about choices, surely.
And you have the choice. Surely you have the choice today. You have the choice today to say, do I accept these cuts? Do I accept this further reduction of living standards? I mean, in Northern Ireland, in the community voluntary sector, a number of organisations are, there's people there who haven't had wage. I'm talking about a wage increase now. In 10 or 11 years, they've had no wage increase. You know, and what they have been hit with is an increase in food bills and energy bills, etc., which is in effect a pay cut. So what the trade union movement is saying now is that we need to organise, we need to have these discussions, and we need to say no to this agenda of austerity. If you accept the agenda of austerity, what you're saying is for young people in our society that there's no hope. That we just should leave and go somewhere else.
Alex? Alex is trying to get in there. Well, I'll come back to you, Bran. Go on ahead, Alex.
Can I just ask a simple question? If we turn the clock back 5 years when the financial crash and Britain was spending more than they were earning, where's the money going to come from? I mean, it's all right to say we shouldn't cut back here, we shouldn't cut back there. Where's the money come from? If you go to the bank manager and saying, I want another loan, I want more. And if he says no, well, you can't. It's no point saying, I don't accept that. The reality is, we have been given so much money to get by on. Britain is still borrowing more than it earns. So the deficit is still rising. Do they want just to live a country to live in the now and now and then to have an economic crash? You have to face reality.
Brian?
Well, right. This word reality is used all the time. Now, all the figures, all the economists, all the arguments on social society in Britain at the moment say, who have benefited out of austerity? The wealthy. There's been a huge surge in the number of millionaires in Britain, etc. People people who have wealth. And what we have had is, on a corresponding side, is we have a huge reduction in poverty for people. That's been the economic look. There's no worker in Northern Ireland causes that economic crisis.
That's okay. Do what the French did. Tax the millionaires to the ninth degree, and they'll all go off somewhere else. That's what happened in France. France now, in London now, is for the French people, French millionaires. They move on somewhere else. The other point they make is here, a lot of those millionaires are the ones that create wealth. They create the wealth. You know, it's hard to have this utopian society where everybody's on the same level and there's nobody's very well, nobody's wealthy, nobody's poor. They tried that in Russia, and it simply didn't work. You know, a country needs a variety of population. It needs people. It needs the fact that Britain has so many millionaires actually is a signal of the strength of the economy.
Okay. Can I come in here? In the Republic of Ireland, and this is the nature of corporation tax. In the Republic of Ireland, they had a corporation tax, a low cut. Now look at what happened to the southern economy. Look at it. Big firms come into the Republic of Ireland and they absolutely use the Republic of Ireland's economy to make a lot of money. The Republic of Ireland, after that experiment, is saddled with massive debt. They're paying off debt. Workers are paying off debt in the Republic of Ireland.